way. Great to get together and sing one of the old hymns, isn't it? We'll do it again a few times this summer sometime. You just say when, Jim, and we'll do it. I usually don't do a series in the summer because we've got a lot of visitors that come and go, and we have our own folks, and a lot of times they're working someplace in the summer during our Sunday morning services, and I don't do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I wanted to start a 7-part series on 7 reasons why we don't share the good news. I'm going to give you the 7 reasons right now and just start with the first one. The first one I'm going to start with is deception. And then there'll be fear and apathy, no vision, I forget, lack of prayer, and then how do I evangelize? Those will be the 7 that we're going to be talking about during this summer. And I'm going to start with deception first. The first one I'm dealing with this morning has to do with this. In Ephesians, it says something that perhaps some people say lets me off the hook, but it doesn't really. And it's this. Paul is sharing with the church in Ephesus and the other churches that would hear this circular letter that would make its way to other places as well. But he shares these words in the 4th chapter, starting with the 11th verse, that some would say, see, evangelist is a gift, and only certain people have that gift, so I'm off the hook. Verse 11, it says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ can be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now you look at that and say, okay, well, I wasn't given that gift, so forget it. To be an evangelist, you know what that means? Euangelion in the Greek, that means good news. Good news. Basically just sharing good news. And that's been coined for us in Christendom to mean that we share the good news of Jesus Christ. And what that means for us, it means salvation, it means forgiveness of sins, it means eternity with Him and all those things that go with it. But we look at this text and some of us say, oh, I'm not an evangelist, no. I'm not qualified. That's not me. I don't have to do that stuff that some of those other guys and gals do so well. But hold your horses. Because basically what the evangelists and the teachers and the pastors and the prophets and the apostles were doing was sharing those gifts with others so that they could do the same stuff. That's what they were doing. Now, it may very well be that there are those who have the specific gift of evangelism, and they do it very well. But all of us are called to share the good news, or to evangelize. We may not be evangelists in that sense, but we all are called to share good news. Wouldn't you want to anyway? You know, when you hear some good news, something happens. Like the other day, our well went bad. And they came and fixed it, and it was $900. Well, that's not good news, right? But when you have something good happen, don't you want to share it with other people? Can't wait to share a text message with a family, or you want to get an email out there or whatever and say, guess what happened? Right? Shouldn't we do that as well, then, when it comes to the thing that's more important than anything else that could ever happen? Even when I asked my wife to marry me and all those kind of things, that was great, that was wonderful. She said yes, and we're still married and all that sort of thing. But even greater than that is the good news that Jesus gave us, and yet, for whatever reason, and I think if we polled all of us here this morning, many of you would say, with your eyes closed, you'd raise your hand when I said, are you a bit fearful, nervous, to share with others the good news? And a lot of you would say, I am. We're going to deal with that as we go through these next few weeks. I'm not going to deal with that so much today, but I want to deal with the deception that evangelizing or sharing the good news is left to only a certain few people as Christians. It's not. In context, Paul was saying, train others to do the same thing that we're doing. Well, there's another text that was read this morning, and it was in Matthew chapter 28. And here in Matthew 28, you got a bunch of fishermen. Now, these fishermen are not trained in evangelism. These fishermen are fishermen. Probably stink a lot, too. You know, we used to have the fish fry here, which is before I came. People would say they'd come on Sunday morning after the fish fry, and the church stunk. I wonder if attendance is very good on that particular Sunday. I don't really like fish a whole lot, and so fish to me stinks anyway. But, you know, it's good for you, so I have fish oil. But be careful if you burp. Why did I even say that this morning? I get off track sometimes. But the whole thing, these were fishermen here. These disciples who were going to be disciples, they were fishermen doing their thing. They were fishers of fish. And yet Jesus comes on the scene and says, I want you to do something different now. You're going to be fishers of men, fishers of humanity, fishers of men and women, girls and boys. You're going to be fishermen of those who I give you to share something that you don't even know a whole lot about yet. You see, in this case, it's not an either or, it's kind of a both. Am I a follower or a fisherman? If I follow, I will fish. If I'm not fishing, am I following? You see what I'm saying here? It is called being a disciple. And some of these folks continued to fish a bit, but they were followers of Jesus Christ. I want to look at a couple others here this morning, and one of them I want to look at is Moses that Bill was talking about this morning. But I want to look at another one first, and this is Stephen. In the book of Acts, we hear about Stephen. Stephen was a man full of the Holy Spirit, it says in the sixth chapter of Acts. And he wasn't one of the apostles, but he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And they were having an issue. Now, everybody was coming into Jerusalem. There's a whole lot of things going on there, and people, they're having a problem with feeding them because they're all there away from home, and there was an issue with feeding them and caring for them. And the disciples, the apostles, the 12, they were all sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, but realized there were needs that were not being met. So we've got to do something about it. So he said, let's get some guys together who will make sure that all the food gets distributed and that people are going to be taken care of, because how can you take care of a spiritual need and then leave people starving as well? It doesn't work very well. So it does say in the text, in the sixth chapter of Acts, it says as they were choosing these people, one that was really singled out here was Stephen. And it says particularly concerning Stephen, says this. Acts, where am I here now? Acts chapter 6, 2-4. Let me be the right spot here. The 12 gathered all the disciples together and said it would be right for us not to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. So brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. And they found one in particular, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. His name was Stephen. Now, here's Stephen. He's waiting on tables. But you know what he's doing when he's waiting on tables? He's sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, he wasn't an evangelist. He wasn't one of the 12. He wasn't one of the apostles. He wasn't one, but he was waiting on tables. And while he's waiting on tables, he's sharing with people the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, the point, I think, of this text is this. Whatever it is you and I are doing in our life, whatever our occupation is, a lot of you, I'm looking out there and I've seen some of the grayer hairs there. Your occupation is retirement. Although I hear a lot of people in retirement working more in retirement than they were when they were working. So I don't know what's going on with that. But the point still being, whatever it is you do with your life, you can still be sharing the good news. Whatever you're doing, waiting on tables like Stephen was, he can be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Whatever it is in life that you're doing, you can be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. There's some easy and very subtle ways that you can do that. One is just by living your life in a way that brings honor and glory and praise to Him. When you're in difficult situations, people notice there's something different about you. What is it? Well, I'll tell you what. I'm an imperfect person, but I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. And He saved me from my sin. And that's why I responded the way I did in this situation. And they may continue on with the conversation. You see what happens in that sort of thing? You don't have to be a professional. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be someone who has the gift. But just in the context you're in, you have opportunities from time to time to share the good news. Sometimes it can be forced, and let me share that with you. Sometimes I took an evangelism class when I was in seminary, and what was really difficult with this class was you were forced to evangelize, which seems a little fake, doesn't it? It's like, okay, you got to go out and get points for your grade to go out and evangelize, and so you go out and do these things. I shared this with you before, not going to share specifics, but there's this matter of going out and doing it forced. You had to find opportunities to do it. It was different than just doing it out of the joy that springs from your heart. But nonetheless, I learned some things by being forced to do it, because otherwise I may have missed the opportunities I took when I did do what I did in the past class. Evangelism. Stephen waited on tables, yet he knew the gospel. And the same power that was available to the rest of the apostles was available to him as well, just like it is available to you and me. We have the same Holy Spirit. It's not a different Holy Spirit for those who are a professional religious office than those that are not. It's the same Spirit that works with each and every one of us. So there's Moses. As Bill was sharing with us this morning, boy, did he drag his feet, didn't he? God's talking to him. God's showing him stuff that he can do, some miraculous things as he comes before Pharaoh. And Moses is like, God, you know me. I don't speak well. Probably stutters or something like that. I don't speak well. I can't do that. And God reminds him, I created you. If I told you to go and do something, then I'll give you the tools it is to do it. I want to remind you and I of that too. If God calls us, He'll equip us. If God says, go and share the good news of Jesus Christ, He'll equip us to do whatever it is we need to do. You know, I encourage people who don't seem to be very well versed in Scripture, they say, I don't know much about the Bible. Then tell people just your experience in Christ. Tell people that I know He saved me of my sin. I know He loves me. I know He cares for me. I know He's there for me. You know, that's the beginning of sharing with people the good news. And maybe they want to know more. And they want to hear more. And you have opportunities to share more. Moses said he couldn't speak. In fact, although not said right here in this text, but God knew full well, he committed a crime. He murdered an Egyptian, didn't he? Years and years before. And God wanted to use Moses. He was flawed. That was another excuse you had, being deceived into thinking that because my past is such, because I don't have a very clean life there laid out for me, I shouldn't be out there evangelizing others, because they'll look at me and say, well, why are you saying all that stuff? Because I know what you did. Especially if you live in Nakama City and you're here your whole life and people know your life. Right? I moved in from Elsa, so you have to go to Rudyard to check me out. I think that's one of the greatest opportunities to share with people is, guess what? I'm a flawed human being. I've made some stupid decisions in my life. But Jesus loves me. I think sometimes those kinds of opportunities are greater than those that come from a person who's lived a relatively clean life and came to Christ. And as I don't have much of a story to tell, except I know Jesus loves me. Well, you haven't done what I've done. Well, you know, if you've done some of those things and you've lived some of that stuff and you still say, Jesus loves even me, think about the awesome witness that can be. Moses had done those things. He came up with excuse after excuse after excuse for God, and God said, I'm still going to use you. But he did give him some leeway. He says, okay, you say you can't speak. Well, I told you I'd give you what you need. And even if you aren't going to speak, I'll give you Aaron. Aaron will speak for you. Aaron will speak. He will be your mouthpiece as you do your thing, as you live your life. Moses finally said yes, and the rest is history. I just want to encourage us this morning with this as I close.
The number one reason that we don't share the good news is because we deceive ourselves into thinking, that's not for me because I'm not equipped. I can't do it because I'm not an evangelist. I can't do it because my life isn't a very pretty life. I can't do it for whatever reasons. God is saying to you and me, who gave you your mouth? Who gave you everything that you have? I did. And if I want you to share, I'll equip you however you need to be equipped. And you have a powerful witness no matter what your past is. A powerful witness no matter what your past is. Because God's all about not the past, He's about the future. He did what He did in the past already on the cross. Jesus did that on the cross. And from that point on, it changed history. That changed my life. That changed your life as well. So don't let that excuse stop you from sharing the good news. We're going to do more of this as we go through the next few weeks together. And I know all of us, I confess to you as I close, I've had some of the same reasons I've given for myself in not doing what God's called me to do. So this isn't all about me sharing with you. It's about me dealing with me too. All right? We've got to overcome these things because there's great news to share. In a world where all the stuff that's going on right now, it makes this world a very difficult place sometimes. You need to let people know there's good news in the midst of all the crud that's going on. There's great news. And it's right here in this room. It's right here in this Bible. It's for all of us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you that we have the privilege of sharing the good news. And why, God, sometimes we are deceived into thinking that I'm not equipped, or some of these other reasons coming down the road, we're fearful, whatever it is, God, help us to know that all of us have an opportunity and a privilege and the resources we need to share the good news that happened to us with others. Even if we're not eloquent, even if we don't know chapter and verse in the Bible, you've given us opportunity to share this good news, so help us to do it. And we give you thanks and praise for saving us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.